Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
Well, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Isaiah 43 today. I got some things I want to talk about. It's been on my heart after spending a couple of days, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, enjoying some away time. I don't know if any of you got away at all the last two or three days, but just kind of enjoying some time and reflecting on life. I couldn't get some thoughts out of my head. Because I watch people. I don't know about you, but I like to watch people. Not to judge, but to see where we're at. See where society's at. How do people act? How do they operate? What's going on? And you know, there are some things in life as I watch, they just seem to never change. Same thing over and over again. Being around people, husbands and wives, and a husband yelling at a wife, and a wife mad that she got yelled at. How do people think that they're going to have a good marriage with the way they talk to each other sometimes? Well, they're not thinking about having a good marriage. All they're thinking about is just doing what they've always done or what's been trained into them. Same thing financially. People just never, ever, I don't ever have anything. My mom and dad never had anything. My grandparents never had anything. And that's just kind of my life. I'll never have anything. And what gets me is we've got a thing going on in life of a mindset that things are just always going to be the way they've always been. And what they don't understand is it's getting worse unless you take your hand to the plow and make a difference. God always challenges mankind to think beyond their current situation. You come out of what you know in life based on how you were raised, the society you were raised. Well, let me just make a reflection. If you haven't listened to Wednesday night sermon that Wade Ford preached, you need to listen to it. Get on podcast and listen to it. Everything starts with a thought. What are you going to do with a thought that comes in? You got 5 seconds to deal with that thought. What are you going to do with the thought that comes in? Well, here's the thing. A lot of people have that thought and they don't take care of it in 5 seconds, and then it just becomes their norm. This is just normality in life. And so we think based on how we've always thought. We base our thinking on how we were raised. We base our thought on what we think is available to us. You got to try at some point and think like God thinks. Well, boy, I just don't know if I could do it. Well, the Bible says to be Christ-like. Grab a hold of what God would do in your circumstance. Let's just say Jesus was to come in to whatever your circumstance is. What would he say? What would he do? What plow would he use? What tool would he use to get the job done? Isaiah 43, verse 19 says, I will do a new thing. God says, I'm going to do a new thing. I'm going to do a new thing. And he goes on, I will create rivers in a dry wasteland. I like this scripture because I think that Christian people get to a place in their life where they don't think anything can be new. But all through the word, things become new. Things become new. And each and every one of us encounter decisions that we're thinking on every day, and we get locked into a thinking pattern of what will and will not work. Every one of us has been there. We end up ruling out new ideas before they can even happen. I won't ask for a raise of hands, but I'm going to ask you the question, how many of you ever thought like that? Just because you've always thought the way you think does not mean that God cannot come on the scene and make things new for you. Because he says in his word, I'm going to do a new thing. And so today, I want you at the beginning of this sermon to get something in your head. And I want you to realize that whatever's in your head, it can become new. It can become different. It can change. I can look back on my life and see where I used to think there's no way that I could have a good marriage because of who I was married to. That was a thought I had. And I'm here to tell you today, things can change. Praise God. Can change. There's just got to be a way we think different with the body of Christ. I can't tell you the countless people that because of their past experiences and how they think church should be, go to this church, go to another church, go to a church over here, and they rule out church. Come to a place where they rule out church. Well, I've been to every church, and I'm not going to church because at church is where I get hurt. And they start thinking like that, and because of all their past experiences, they think that they can't experience a new thing in church. Something changes at the church. They finally found a church that I can go to. And then something is done, something is said, somebody preaches, somebody says something they don't agree with, and they're like, that's not going to work, and they're out of here. I've seen it firsthand. I was told that this would happen if you start a church. I didn't believe them. I thought, well, everybody's going to love this church. I still want to think that. Everybody should, in my opinion. I mean, I think it's great, but fact is, not everybody stays. And here's why. Because when something new happens to them they don't agree with, the first thing they're going to do is run. And it's not just here, it's anywhere. See, I'm not interested in anything that could be better than where I'm at. Now, they're not going to say that, but that's exactly what they're saying. I'm not interested in anything that could be better than right where I'm at. And I'm going to have an opinion about something. Let me just tell you, there is nothing wrong with an opinion. Everybody's got an opinion. There's nothing wrong with having an opinion. And when you start putting people down for having an opinion, you've got the problem. People are going to have an opinion. You've got to understand that. But you've also got to know God has a way that is right and true, and he has a way and a direction. And as long as you can distinguish between what God says and your opinion, then you, because you can't, people think, that's just the way we're made, we think. And when you think about something. What are you thinking about? You're thinking about what you would do in that situation. And it's all based on how you were raised, what your thoughts were growing up. And see, I was going to bring on stage, because I thought this would be a great effect, a chainsaw, and start it up in here. The more I thought about that, I thought that's not a good idea. All of my chainsaws leak a lot of oil. So there'd have been a problem. And then when I started it, smoke comes out of it, two-stroke engine. You got smoke coming everywhere. And you're like, and then we've got people coughing and we got people leaving because I made a bad decision. So my opinion changed. I thought this was a great idea until I started thinking about it. And then I had the opinion, it's not a good idea. And there was nothing I could find in scripture that says it's a good idea to bring a chainsaw in here. It's a bad idea. It's just an opinion. So I want you to know that I chose today not to do that. So some of you, but I'm really glad. But to me, I love the smell of a chainsaw. I just do. Two-stroke engines. You know, there was a day and time there wasn't a chainsaw. The chainsaw was invented in 1929. Google tell you anything you want to know. 1929, the chainsaw was invented. Don't you know that that becomes something that a lot of people really appreciated? I don't know if you've ever been to one of those steel competitions where they do the chainsaw things. Well, there's one of them that you can go to, and it's one of them in Branson, Dixie Stampede, different, where they have these loggers, and they get on each side of a two-way saw. I've got one up in the shop, and one person's on one side, and you're moving that saw as fast as you can, trying to cut a piece off of this log. Has anybody ever seen that? We look at that and go, wow. In fact, when you go to Cracker Barrel, that's hanging on the wall. You ever been to Cracker Barrel? I've been there now. It's good food. But what you do is you look around and you see everything that used to be really cool. And now it's like vintage. That's really cool. We have a screen door hanging on our wall at the house. That would never be on our front door, but it's going to hang on our wall. It's kind of the way Cracker Barrel is. They take things nobody's going to use for what it was intended to use, and they're just going to decorate with it now. And you see this cross-cut saw on this wall. And every time I see that cross-cut saw, it makes me think of my grandfather, because being born when he was and in his teenage years, he didn't know there was even such a thing as a chainsaw. Cross-cut saw is how they used everything to cut down a tree. But man, when they made that chainsaw and they started, oh, wait, Teresa can make a good chainsaw, so I can't. Anyway, they make this thing, and then they start cutting this thing with the chainsaw, and you're just amazed at how, what, can I just can't even think. When my grandfather saw that first chainsaw, we all grew up with chainsaws here pretty much. But when Grandpa saw that first chainsaw, and you're like, I ain't ever using a crosscut saw again. See, he immediately saw the fruit of that and went, wow, this two-way saw thing, that's a thing of the past. We're not using that anymore. And I could have brought the crosscut saw in because I don't think it would have made any sense. But it's obviously, to me, important to understand that a tree being cut down with two people using a saw, they may not have realized there was something better until they saw it. I want to tell you, in your life, you might be in a position right now of going, man, I just don't know how I'm going to, but I want to encourage you today, there's a new thing happening, and there's something better. That's the title of my message today, something better. Something better. There's something better. There's something better available. And if you would have thought in 1925 that there was going to be something better, then you probably, or 1929, there was something better, you wouldn't have been as amazed when you saw the chainsaw with a motor on it. You wouldn't have been quite, I knew that was coming. The fact is nobody did because they were still out there crosscuts, they're sawing with two people. See, he didn't see something better. But as a Christian, I want you to know the Bible, one of its promises is there's something better for you. There's a new thing. God's doing a new thing. Here is my biggest problem with churches today. Churches today and God's people today, they act like that it's always going to be the way it's always been when we live on in a day and time where your phone and your computer are outdated in a year or two. I mean, as soon as you buy the new one, the next one's being developed and yours is ancient. I mean, there will be a day and time where there's iPhones hanging in Cracker Barrel. You think that's funny, and I'm serious. What if someone said, when they were using this two-way saw, said there'll be a day and time that that hangs down there. Cracker Barrel hadn't been invented either. But there is some restaurant. What, that's in Mama's house right over. That'll be hanging in Mama's house here in a few years. I just think about that, and I think that's going to be a wall decoration, an iPhone. I think like that. And the reason I think like that is because I know that God is always making things new. But we in the church world, here's what I'm sick about, we don't tend to think like that. See that? We tend to think that there needs to always be and forever an organ in the church. Just my little high horse. I'm not against an organ. But that you can never have another instrument besides an organ, I have a problem with, because God says to make all things new. And there was a day and time that the organ coming into the church, there was a lot of controversy. So we've got to get Christians to a place that we understand that God is a God of new. And there's 100 things that would have been thought crazy 100 years ago that today, praise God, there's something better. I mean, I just sit here and look at a little clock that I have on a wall. You know that my first watch I bought that was digital, I was in like my teenage years and it had a calculator on it. I had a hidden agenda. I was in school. Calculator on your watch. This would be a nice thing to have. Wrong thinking, but it was a thought and I didn't take care of it in 5 seconds. And so I got this watch and I paid good money for this calculator watch because it had a digital readout. And I'm like, a digital readout? That's the coolest thing I've ever seen. How about the first cellular phone? I mean, it looks like a satellite phone that you see in war movies. Put that thing up. Motorola. I'm just, 100 years ago, you'd have never thought that was possible. Do you understand that just in the last 100 years, I'm praising God that there's been a whole lot of things that have got better. Something's better. Something's better. God uses several situations in the Bible, and he does things different, and as he does them different, he gets some results, and there was some change that needed to occur that was inevitable, and some changes that we needed to embrace, and some things that didn't need to change. We as Christian people have to determine which ones are which. See, there are some things that need to change. There are some things that are just going to change. And there are some things that don't need to ever change. The problem is Christians don't know where to categorize each thing. There are some things that need to, some things that are going to, and there are some things that never need to or never should. There are people that will always need healed. Because we live in a fallen world. And Jesus started it out. And you remember all the people Jesus healed? I mean, in the word, there's a whole bunch of them. A bunch of blind people got healed. I'll just use the blind for an example for a second. Blind people getting healed. You know he used different ways to heal people? Some of them he did in stages, different stages. I mean, he spit in the mud, put it on someone's eye and says, go wash in the pool, two stage, and then could see. Why didn't you just say, go wash in the pool? You know what I mean? I read scripture and I go, wow, why did he do that? Another time he said, hey, you can just see again. Another one he touched. I mean, you can read through scripture and you can go, wow, this is just speak the word. Someone's healed. I want you to understand something. Hebrews 13:8. Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever. So I don't want you to leave this message. I'm going to give a disclaimer here that I'm saying that God changes because God does not change. But you need to know his methods do. And they did in scripture. They did in scripture. So we get caught up on that. That does, I am the Lord, Malachi 3:6. I am the Lord, I do not change. God does not change. You need to hear that. And what I want you to know, his future or his outcomes don't change. When they were sick, they were healed. I don't read of anybody being in Jesus' presence that needed a healing that didn't get it. So that you read this, you know, his future and his outcomes don't change, but the methods in how he produces the change does. The methods do. And so Luke chapter 5, have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 5, verse 1. One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge. For the fishermen had left them, and they're washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out in the water. So he sat in the boat, and he taught the crowds from the water. I like that. Jesus didn't get a pulpit and build a church and say, okay, I got something to say to everybody. He just went down to the water's edge. That boat will work. I know that sound, when it hits the water, since he made sound, kind of hits the water and it's going to bounce up into the crowd. Have you ever been on the lake and it's real still? I mean, sound just travels. It hits. Jesus knew that. Gets out there, starts preaching, and the crowds hear everything he's having to say. Let's go on and read verse 4. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it's deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Simon says, Master, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. And this time, their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish on the verge of sinking. We come to church, we read our Bibles, we believe God. We believe what God said. But yet we don't believe that better is coming. We don't believe that there's something better. Come on, we got to change our thinking. There is something better. Better is available. It's not too hard to believe God when there are other options that you can agree with and want to try. Yeah, that might work. Thanks, God, for planting that in my head. But where it's difficult to believe God is in an area that you already know something about, and you've ruled it out, and that's not going to work. See, the fishermen knew where to fish. Their dads had taught them. I know where. And Jesus says, go out in the deeper waters, throw your net out, and check it out. And he's like, Jesus, we fished all night. And Jesus, I'm a fisherman. Maybe that's not what he said, but that's what he was saying. It's right here. I already know how to fish. I make a living fishing. I've fished on this lake a long time. I don't need you telling me, but since you did tell me, I guess I'll do it. That's kind of his attitude. I really think that he was kind of thinking, that's just me, I kind of think he wasn't really believing at the time that it was going to work. He was just going to do what he was told. Now, there's a great lesson in that thought. I don't know that you can always convince your mind that this is going to work. I don't think you can always convince yourself mentally that this is going to come through right. But when you can prophesy the promise, when you can trust in the sayer, when you can trust in the word of God, which was the word of God when Jesus said, go out here and do this. Throw it out in a deeper water. Let's try this out. And so he did. I don't know that his mind was changed until he saw the fruit. Until he saw the fish. Hey, come on out of here. I can't draw this thing. Get the other boat. The other boat comes out. And they're drawing in some fish. And I just think it's kind of, whoa. I didn't believe this was going to work, but woohoo, it did. It did. Aha! That was a Tim Brooks kick. That's what he did. Aha, it worked! I just don't think that we as Christians a lot of times are willing to do what God said to do because we don't believe it'll work. But if we just do it, you might see that it does work. But we don't have in our mind that things are going to work, so we just don't do them anymore. And Christian people are not doing anything, and we've got the church that's the same way, the same look, the same processes that were going on 50 years ago because they say God never changes. And I agree God never changes, but his methods do. Let the fish come into the net by throwing it in some deeper waters. There's some things we've got to learn from this. I trust God and I believe him about things that I know nothing about, but when I know about fishing, it's hard for me. They aren't biting tonight. Well, I've been out all night. Well, let's just listen to me. Jesus says, go out here. All right, if you say so. See, the area you limit God is in the area you already know all about. You can write that down. You can put that in your thinker for a second. But the area you limit God is in the area naturally you already know everything about. I already know everything about business, so I don't ask him for his, Master, we worked hard all night. I don't know why you'd want us to go out and do this again. That doesn't make any sense. Well, but if you say so. See, very few things in life, I want you to hear this today, are permanent. So it's hard for us as Christian people to believe in a permanent God. For everything going in our life that we already know are not permanent. You see the barrier we have? I'm wanting to get you thinking in that today. I don't know hardly anyone that has held one job their entire life. How many people have had more than one job? Look around. I mean, you got almost every hand raised. I've had 100 different jobs. I've had this job. I've had this job. And you might not have had a lot, but you've had one or two. I mean, I remember my jobs when I started out. I was washing tractors. My first job, I was washing tractors with a big, high-powered pressure washer. They hadn't invented the ones you could buy at Sam's or Walmart yet. And so at that day and time, we had a big boiler in the back that heated the water, and then we had an air compressor that filled this tank and pushed it out. And if you got hit by it, it tore your skin. You had to have it that hot to get all the grease off these old tractors that we were washing. And that was my first job, and I thought, I have arrived. I'm going to be a tractor washer the rest of my life. I remember thinking, I'm the best one there is. I didn't have a problem with my self-esteem at that time, and I just thought, I can do this. And I did. And I thought about how we could develop different tractor washing stations. They have car washes. Why not tractor washing stations? Well, the problem is you don't drive your tractor to town to wash it. But I just had all of these thoughts as a young boy of what we could do with this tractor washing business. You know, that was my first job. My second job, I worked at Taco Bell. I really liked that one. One of my favorite places to eat, Taco Bell. It's a good place. I got someone who agrees. There are some things that I get, the more I'm amazed that landscape changes. I drive around and I'm like, that don't look anything the way it did when I was a kid. Anybody else do that? Just driving to Springfield, I'm like, none of this was here. I mean, when I drive up to the new Sam's, that's the one on the south side of town, and I'm headed to the south side of town to go to Sam's, over on the right, I never look at this hill that I don't remember a big water slide, 4-lane water slide. Anybody remember that? Times change, ain't there no more. Sad deal. Or you can look at what's going on in life and you can go, that's pretty cool. I mean, Sam's used to be a driving range. Anybody remember that? On the south side? I just think, well, that's pretty cool that it used to be a driving range and now it's Sam's because it's producing a lot more than it was as a driving range. And I like to see things producing. Being in the ministry, I understand that there are changes that I see and there are changes of season and there are some that you embrace and some you don't really want, but you just have to deal with it. And you know, come on, if you live in Missouri, you're used to change. The weather, the seasons, everything changes. Hopefully and obviously, my prayer is that you don't change a husband or a wife every week or two. Or every few months. I mean, you get one and you stick with it. But the idea of our families, there are things that are always going to be in life forever, but there are even people that will change in and out of your life. And that's hard to hear, but it's true. That's a tough deal. I've seen people and groups and concepts come and go. I mean, I was in church and have been in church ministering for years. And before I was preaching, I was singing, and we would go into churches and we would use tracks. I don't know if you're familiar with tracks. What tracks are is this professional instruments from professional musicians that have put all this stuff together, and then you just push play on a cassette player, which we don't have anymore, and you push that, and then it plays the sound behind you in the speakers, and you sing to a track. Now, I think that's cool, except for it's not done much anymore. Now you got to have live musicians. Well, we had the best musicians in the country. They're all from Nashville. They were phenomenal. But when we would have a band behind us, everybody liked it a lot more. We started realizing tracks aren't used much. See, everything changes. People, tracks, concepts. Problem begins when people think that this is the way it will always be. And when you think like that, just know when it does change, you're going to live frustrated. When God himself said, I'm going to do a new thing. I'm going to do it. Are you getting kind of what I'm talking about today? Because I can just keep talking. God starts to move and make things happen. And God will supernaturally bring people into your life. But the same way, he will take people out of your life. And he'll move other people into your, and I look at my life and I think he has played so many roles into my life through people. But here's the thing, he didn't bring them into my life to last forever. Oh, that's sad. I can't leave this message here. Please, no one walk out right now. This is important to hear the rest of it. Michelle and I have been in a couple different churches in our life before Christian Ministries. And we had some great friends. And I knew that God was saying something, that there was something better, but it was really hard for us to move into what God had for us in starting a church. But I knew life wouldn't always stay the same, and change can cause and has caused in my life anxiety, frustration. Come on, I think some people here would say, yeah, absolutely, that I don't know if I can handle that. And then the church first started, and I'm like, I don't know how to do this. I knew how to do what I did, but I was trying to do what God said, even though I hadn't seen the fish yet. See, it said you need to go throw the net out, but I just, I've never done this before. So I'm calling Tim because he said he'd help me every 5 minutes. How do I do this? And I remember every time I'd hang up going, oh, there has to be something better. There has to be something better than this. I just don't know. And there was, and this was before I knew how to do any of this. And I was just like, I don't know. And I don't, there had to be some. See, I didn't know at that time a BJ Stockstill. Now I knew him, but he was a snotty-nosed rat kid. I mean, I never at that time would have thought he could know more about sound and lights than I ever thought about knowing. I didn't even know that. I couldn't put all that together. Melanie, I'd sang with her, but I never saw her as a worship leader, someone who could communicate the word at her level. I didn't know. Chapman, he was a snotty-nosed-faced kid. I mean, he was the same thing. And he lived in Oklahoma, and I didn't know him. Daniel family couldn't have even introduced me to him, and I didn't know them. I mean, I think through this a lot. I look at people here, Jill, and what she does with our slides. I mean, something better. Let me just tell you, that's a better slide than I ever produced in my whole life. There has to be something better. I didn't know the leadership of our church. Adam Jones, I had no idea who he was. Wade Ford, I didn't know. There are just some people I didn't know. I never knew a kindergarten teacher that loved their students at the level that Courtney Harrelson loves kids. See, I never knew that, but I knew that there had to be something better because, God, we're starting a school and I'm not keep teaching kids. I'll teach kindergarten. If you say so, please don't say so. I mean, God, there has to be something better. Worship in our church wasn't always at the level you're watching it today. It's changed countless times over the last 10, 15 years. It's changed a lot in the last 5 years. Going from, I'm not sure we have enough players to even do this week, we might have to get the DVDs out. Those were words that came out of our mouth. Now we have 3, 4, 5 players for every instrument on the stage. How in the world does that, we have more than one band that can, I just want you to see today that I had to embrace some changes to get to the point we're at today. And if you don't hear this, then church is always going to frustrate you, or this church will. You'll have to find one that has never learned that God is doing a new thing all the time. All the time. A new thing's, you got to know a new thing's coming. Are you ready for it? Because I am. I'm excited about what God's doing. See, I want to encourage you. Could it be that God wants you to run that business on your own? Could it be, maybe it's just using the new tool that will take your business to the next level. Could it be that God called you into a ministry and you need to take the next step and move out? I don't know what it is for you. But God is wanting to do a new thing. And I just felt all week as I watched so many people, I watched them down at the lake. I just watched them day after day after day get stuck in doing the same thing over and over and over. And I want you to know that Jesus can be new today. He can be fresh for you today. What, is he going to save you again? Yep, he is. Really? I thought once I got saved, I was just always saved. All right, here's the deal. You always got heaven, but you need to get saved every day and quit thinking that thought and take that thought captive. God, I need you to save me from this. See, he can save you from the life that you're headed down and put you on a new path that's different. Now, I'm not saying all things need to change. There's some changes that we need to embrace because God never changes. But we got to get a hold of the methods. I caught a lot of ridicule for having a coffee shop out in the foyer. Not mostly from people here, but mostly from people outside of here. What do you think you're doing? All I can tell you is, I don't know. But I really, at the time, believe God had said this is what you needed to do, and so we did. So we did. Move forward. If it had been a disaster, I'd have been the first one to say, yep, messed that one, blew it. But I don't know if any of you enjoy a little nice hot cup of Java every once in a while. That's a good word, Java. I've never used that from the pulpit before, but that was fun. See, you cannot make a change and expect to stay where you're at. That's just pretty, you can't be ready for the new when you're not willing to change, and you're not going to stay where you're at and make a change. There's going to be something different. I broke my leg in high school, and just changing direction here for a second. I broke my leg in high school, and I had to use crutches, and then I got down to using one crutch. Has anybody ever used a crutch? I can't stand crutches. They rub your underarms raw. Mine already rubbed together, but then you put a crutch in there, and oh, it's really bad. And so I'm sitting here, and I'm riding, and I'm trying to walk, and everything I'm trying to do, and I'm riding in the car trying to get your crutches in and out. And here's the thing. The crutches were not intended for me to have the rest of my life. They were for a season, and the reason that crutch was there is to help me while I healed. They helped me while I healed. And then I was to get rid of the crutches and walk on my own. I want you to hear just this little example. And maybe this only made sense to me, but I think this might. A lot of times we get into a position in life and we put ourselves into crutches because we think we were hurt, and maybe we were. Or we don't really know how to do it right now, and I don't know if I can step out. And so we get into this crutch. And the thing is, you've been using this crutch for 20 years, and at some point, you have to put that crutch away and walk on your own. So you're going to have to get to a place where you quit depending on everyone else and get a dependency upon God. And what he said, he's empowered you to do. People are always using a crutch for an excuse as to why they're where they're at. Well, if I hadn't have married her, if I hadn't have married him, I wouldn't be, if I had any money, I think of the mayor and his wife walking down the street. I heard this years ago. The mayor and his wife walking down the street, and the mayor looks over at this homeless man on the street and says to his wife, "I bet you're glad you didn't marry him." And she said, "Had I married him, he'd be the mayor." How are you looking at life? Are you grateful and appreciating what God has done, who he has sent into your life, who you're married to, or are you boastful about where you're at because of yourself? It'll only be because of your dependency upon God that you'll ever get anywhere. And stop putting God where he needs to be put, you're not going to be in the position you want to be in. Very few things are going to last forever. If we're going to reach the generation of people that we are seeing being raised today, then we're going to have to do it different than we did 30 years ago. You need to hear this. There was a day and time where all I talked about was you need to not give your kid a phone until they're 25 because all the junk. What you got to do is you got to get to a place where you understand that giving a kid a phone at 25 doesn't answer everything because they drive at 16 and they need a phone at 16. Well, do they need it at 12? I don't know. Every life circumstance is different. I'm not here to, but at 16, when they're driving, I thought it would be nice for my kids to have a phone so that they could get a hold of somebody if needed. Now, here's the thing. At 16, not all kids can handle what they can access on their phone. So what do you do? What do you do? You teach your kid to depend on God and to recognize sin and say, "I'm going to run from that." See, that there's a usefulness to a phone. Well, we need to get, and I'm learning more and more, and I have fought change in so many areas. I recognize that. But we've got to get to a place where we recognize that change is a necessity for us to reach the next generation. I'm not a big fan and wasn't for years of Facebook. I thought it was of the devil. And now we're using it to promote the church. See, you're going to have to get to a place in life where you embrace some change and wait and watch and see if that was God. And when you did, then maybe you need to back up. But we're just talking about opinions. I'm not talking about thus saith the Lord. When God says it, you better do it. It's not going to change. But there's nothing outlined in Scripture about a phone. Jesus didn't pick up the Motorola. Sorry, the iPhone. Very few things last forever. My parents' generation, they won lost people. And they used what was available for them to win them at the time. Jesus was the one that saved them, and he will always be the one that saves them. Yeah, you got to hear the difference here. But in this day and time, there's got to be a stepping up to do what God's called us to do that will reach the generation that God's called us to reach, and we're going to have to examine the methods and figure out how to do that. And there's just going to be some ways. I can go on and on and on and on about this. Gideon, the story of Gideon, so much there. I don't have time to get in this. I'm going to have to talk more about this next week because I'm not done. I still got like 5 or 6 pages here. There's so much. And that cross-cut saw, that two-man saw, if we keep staying with that, we're never going to get where God intended us to go. How are we going to do this? Let me just, right now, close my notes and hold my word that God gave me. I'm all about never changing anything that he said to do. But Jesus himself healed in different ways to get the same result. Our result is we want people saved. Our vision for this year is we want to make disciples. How are we doing? How are we doing? If we keep doing what we've always done, we're going to keep getting what we've always got. And what I want to do is I want to go to the next level. And I never don't want to go to the next level. I always want to go to the next level. I just had a leadership meeting last week, and I said, we are going to have to understand some things about this church. This church is not a community church. Are you kidding me? No, look around. There's no community here. I asked just our leadership team to start raising their hands. What community are you from? How many from Marionville? And they raised their hand. How many from Clever? So, I mean, we got Crane, Clever, Marionville, Republic, Springfield, Willard. I can just keep going on and on. Nixa. Everybody. This church is comprised with a lot of people from a bunch of different districts or communities. So what do we got to do? We got to make sure we're creating a culture where when they go back to their community, they're bringing that culture into that community. And that's going to be a love and an excitement for God. An excitement for God in everything we do. I was in a community the last 3 days that wasn't here. And we brought our culture into that community. And when we cooked some stuff on the grill, everybody was getting ready to eat. And my wife says, hey, can we pray real quick? And I was getting, yes, we can. And right then, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to thank you, Lord. So I'm going to bring I'm not going to be moved into another culture when this is the culture that I move by. Now the reason why I close this is because I want you to see something here. There's going to be some changes once again right here at Christian Ministries Church. Oh, really? Yes! And if you don't embrace it, you're going to go home talking in your cars and going sitting in your chairs at home, whatever you do. You're going to be going, I just don't know if I want to go there. Everything's always changing. Or you could go, I'm so glad I go there because everything's always changing. God's making a new thing. God's doing something different. What I'm telling you is right now, we've got some things that are needing to move forward. And I'm just telling you, over the next few months, you're going to start seeing some of that. We need a floor in here so we can have some basketball games and some volleyball games. That's not on concrete. And we've needed that for a few years. And God, I've been praying, I've been asking, I've been seeking, I've been trying to do everything we can. We don't have it all figured out yet. I'm working on it. If you got any news and any information or checkbook, come talk to me. I'm more than happy to listen to what's being said and counsel. But I want to make sure where we're headed and where we're going, we hear from God, but we're going to do a new thing. And there's not always going to be a concrete floor in here, but we're still going to have church in here. So we got to figure this all out. Get ready. You're not going, look at this floor. You won't see it like that very long. Really? Yeah! How are you going? You've been driving up on gravel, praise God, when we put a little bit of asphalt down. So grateful for asphalt. I don't know about any of you, but I'm grateful for asphalt. I'm grateful for a new road out there, but it wasn't a few weeks that they didn't have this new road, county road, and I got tar all over my vehicle. And I've been praying for tar for years, and now I got it on my vehicle, and I'm mad again. Change just drives me batty. I drive out here now, and we're dropping everybody off on gravel, and then we pour some asphalt. Praise God, Brett got together with some of the other men and put a little pad out there so we can drop off on the pad, and we can have some of our elder that have a walker, we can get people in here without having to push them through gravel. Aren't you thankful? Thankful for change. Well, here's the thing. When it rains, we're running out there with our elbows bumping in an umbrella, and it just, here's a guitar car. Wouldn't it be nice for a drive-through? We're getting ready to put a drive-through out there. See, there's some things getting ready to happen, and I don't want you to ever think that these sea ponds aren't making a difference, because we're embracing some change that will take us to a level. Well, I liked it the way it was. I did too. That was a season, and it was fun. But come on. God is going to do something even better. God's going to do something. Can you get with me on that this morning? Come on. God's going to do something better. Well, I liked it the way it was. I don't know what to tell you. There's 100 churches that are doing the same thing they've done for the last 100 years. You might want to go there. This church is going to be doing something better. And we're going to be tweaking and adjusting and doing something better all the time. There was a day and time that these lights would have freaked me out on stage. That is not for a church. You kid me? In a drum cage? That's not for church. Heathens. Stick to the word of God and argue the word of God. But don't argue a drum cage. See, it just amazes me how we can get. Let's continue to win people to the Lord, teach them the promises of God, teach them to prophesy the promise. We got to live according to the word of God, but we've also got to live in a way that our methods encourage others to live the word of God.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.